This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 286 for the week ending Saturday, August 22nd, 2015. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Catholic Weekend. I'm Jeff Nielsen, also known as your captain, Captain Jeff. And joining me this morning, the lovely Maria Johnson from Conyers, Georgia.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm so glad to be back.
We're so glad to have you back with us. And also joining us from Montana, the lovely town of Malta, Father Corey.
Howdy, y'all. How's it going?
Great. I love that. Okay. They throw that Houlihan. We're not going to get into it today. If you're watching the video, you'll notice that I'm not in my normal surroundings. I'm in Orlando, Florida, helping move some furniture and odds and ends and stuff to my son in Orlando, Florida. He goes to the University of Central Florida, located here in the lovely, sunny, hot Orlando, Florida. And if you want to hear about my ordeal, I'll tell you a little bit about it. But before we do that, let's talk to Maria Johnson in Conyers. What you been doing, Maria?
Well, I took a vacation that we hadn't had that kind of vacation in many years. Did the whole family thing in Florida. Spent the week at the beach, something like 10 days, and just sat my butt in the sand and watched the waves. And other people fish. Nice. They didn't catch anything.
That sounds wonderful. Sounds nice. Just sitting there in the sand, watching the waves.
Yeah, watching the waves.
Watching
or sitting,
the waves.
Bobbing in the water. But you know what? Sometimes if I get in the water with in a float or something, I get seasick.
Oh, really?
Really?
I do. I just kind of doze off and then, you know, the wave action just kind of first puts me to sleep and then makes me nauseous.
Have you ever gone on a, like a cruise ship?
I have, but those are big.
So and you don't feel...
I don't get sick on those. Oh, okay. And I don't get sick on boats either.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just something about dozing off in a...
I've never heard of anybody
float.
Getting sick on a float. Interesting. Father Corey, how's everything over there in Montana?
Well, definitely not sitting on a beach. last week we had a priest gathering. We had a bunch of priests
from Great Falls.
Come from throughout the country.
What do you call a gaggle of priests?
I don't know. I don't know if there is a name for them.
It's too bad we don't have something clever to say, but no, we don't.
No, we got nothing. A deanery?
A pack of priests.
A pack of priests.
A pack of priests.
So,
a collar of priests.
So how? Tell us about it.
Well, like I said, it was a bunch of priests from throughout the country, who many of whom had met over in Rome. They had studied over in Rome for their seminary, but some of them were people who'd known through other things. And we got together, and at one point there were 18 of us in the rectory.
Wow,
it was rather crowded. There were people sleeping in laundry rooms, storage rooms, offices, you name it. 4 showers for the entire group, by the way.
Wow.
Guys can do that. we can handle that. We just quick in, quick out, and done.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun.
What are you saying? That if it was 18 women, it wouldn't happen that way?
Say
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
I've
right.
seen it. It's so, not pretty.
So there weren't any priestesses?
Women priests?
Yeah, women priests there.
No, they lost their invitation. They didn't like this type of group because we're too conservative.
Okay. So what was it?
Every kind of silly.
So was it spiritually fulfilling, or was it just great camaraderie or all the above?
Little of both. I mean, there was very much the camaraderie aspect. You know, we'd sit out on the deck of the rectory there and enjoy a few beverages and relax and visit and kind of talk about issues. And, you know, there's something I had missed from seminary where we would talk about theological issues. We'd talk about things. And, of course, now it's more of a practical aspect because we're actually doing this for real. You know, it's not just we're talking about issues at seminary because there's stuff we studied, but these are actual issues we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you do when someone comes up in the communion line with a gay pride flag, for example? You know, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so it was really good. I mean, it was beneficial that way. Of course, it's always beneficial to hang out with brother priests. There were some spiritual talks. There were the biggest thing about it is there was actually a Eucharistic conference that was tied in with it. The pastor, who's actually just been ordained a year less than me, he was ordained the year after me, he set up this Eucharist conference. So some of these guys did talks, we did masses, we did a solemn high extraordinary form masses, which was awesome. And you know, I did my part to help participate with that, and it was just fantastic. Fantastic week. I was ready to get home so I could actually get some sleep, but that's another story.
You know, I think that sometimes as lay folks, we forget that our priests need that camaraderie, that togetherness, mm-hmm. of coming together and sharing not just the serious talks that you had, but I think also you probably had a pretty good time too.
Oh yeah. Oh, we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. Just visiting with other priests, getting to know guys. Some of the guys I knew, like I said, they're guys from this diocese, guys that I've met elsewhere. And some of them were guys I'd never met before. It was fun to get to know them and to visit with them and to hear about their life as a priest.
According to Mike in the chat room, and by the way, thank you, Mike, for taking over the note-taking duties this Saturday. He has a couple suggestions. A passel of priests, a flock of fathers, a herd of holy men. I like that one. A herd of holy men. Very, very funny. Mike is always entertaining.
Oh, yes.
I like a collar of priests.
A collar? It must be a collar of priests. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Collar of clerics.
Collar of clerics. Got to get that alliteration in, right?
Yep.
There you go.
Oh, man. So any good beer there in Great Falls?
We actually, I found out about a new brewery in Great Falls called Black Eagle Brewery. It's like a quarter of a mile from the rectory, and the pastor didn't even know it was there.
Really?
It's like, oh, wow. Hey, you've been holding out on us here.
You know where his priorities are.
No, he just didn't know it was there.
Yeah, he claims that he didn't know it was there. He probably briefed him and said, "Don't, you know, when I come in, don't yell out my name."
Yeah, exactly. No, it was there was a restaurant and a casino that was there, kind of by the highway, and they had just added it onto the back end of the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, well, interesting. I wonder where. I never had heard of it, and they just, yeah, we just kind of opened up quietly. We didn't really make a big deal out of it, but hey, it works for me. It was pretty good beer.
Excellent. Well, I mentioned that I'm down here in Orlando moving stuff in with my son's new apartment place. It's kind of weird, you know. They have these apartments now, but they're set up kind of like dorms, with the intention of students using them, and somehow it's affiliated with the school. I don't know. And so like his room, so the place you walk in, it's like actually three stories, like a townhouse or a townhome. And so it's like a common area and a kitchen downstairs. And then you go up the stairs and it's like two bedrooms, and it's like a regular exterior door to get in, you know, like with dead bolts and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And they have their own little rooms and own bathrooms. And then you go up the next floor and another couple of rooms up there. So like a total of four rooms on this multi-level thing. So it's pretty cool. Very nice, actually. Much nicer than I ever had when I was going to college. But anyway, wow. So they needed some furniture. So I got back from my trip on Wednesday afternoon, and the U-Haul place said, hey, we got the truck for you. But of course, it wasn't anywhere near where I was in Sandy Springs, not up in Roswell where I am. And so I said, what time do you close? And they said 6:00. And it was like just a little after 5:00. I'm thinking, shoot. Mm. So I quickly got home. I had Alyssa drive me down to the U-Haul place, picked up this 10-foot, not a big truck. It's like that smallest U-Haul truck that you can get. And so a couple of the items down in the basement, these big giant wicker recliners that Linda wanted to get rid of and my son wanted to use in the apartment. So it was a great solution.
Perfect match.
Yeah, perfect match. So I'm thinking, but they're very, very heavy. And so I'm thinking, you know what? I think it'd be a really good idea to somehow get the U-Haul truck in the backyard. And so that because these recliners are downstairs in the basement, you probably know where I'm going here. And so
I smell a disaster.
I got those things loaded up into the truck. And so I put the thing in gear and started to try to go back up a little bit of an incline. Because, you know, it's what do they call that? Like a walk-in basement in the back. So the rest of the house is up at a higher level. So to get up, back up to the next door neighbor's driveway and back up to the street level, you have to go up an incline. And guess what? The tires went. The tires were moving, but the truck wasn't. And so apparently, Maria knows it's been raining a lot in the Atlanta area. And so everything was really
How's your yard look?
Oh, I don't even want to tell you how terribly I've messed up my backyard. And so I'm thinking, okay, how am I gonna get? I need some traction, so I started taking all these bricks that we have, and like making like a little path, and it's dark, it's raining, and mosquitoes are biting me, and I'm just miserable. I'm thinking, gosh darn it, that was not a good idea. So I make it for like 3 feet, and then that the whole truck would kind of slide off the bricks, and then I'm looking at this incline. I haven't really made the major portion of the incline yet. I'm thinking, there's no way that this truck is gonna make it. So finally, the next morning, I tried a little bit more, and I thought, okay, nope, I'm giving up. So I called a wrecker service.
And, oh, no. It came to that?
Yeah, and they used a winch to winch the thing up. And there was no way I could have made it on the truck's own power. If it were a four-wheel drive truck, I think I could have done it, but they don't make four-wheel drive U-Haul trucks.
Nope.
So... lesson learned. That was another $95 added to the price of the whole thing. But yeah,
I don't know how many years ago it was, but it was some years ago. John's cousin lives in Dayton, Ohio, and she's I guess probably his favorite cousin, and it's a delight to go to visit her. And we used to go quite often when the kids were still young. And her mother, John's aunt, was just a very feisty lady. She passed away this year. And we went up there and we got caught in what was to be one of the hugest blizzards to hit that area in a while. And we had to leave. We were going to drive home. And it's just snowing. I mean, it was like buckets and buckets and buckets of snow. And John's wheels were spinning. We were in a pickup truck and the wheels were spinning. And we were like, oh my gosh, we're doomed. School is, in a few days. And, we were coming off of the end of Christmas vacation or something. And his 86-year-old aunt comes out with all of these newspapers under her arm and in the other arm, blocks of carpeting, like squares of carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And she threw the newspaper down and then put the carpet, or I guess she put the carpet upside down. And then put newspaper on top of it, and she just looked at John and said, "Go drive," and he drove right out of the. And we were like, "How did you know to do this?" She says, "Too many years in Chicago." So
I bet Father Corey knows a thing or two about how to get out of.
No, I just have a four-wheel drive pickup truck.
Oh, see, that's the solution.
So you don't drive the Charger in the wintertime, right?
No, and frankly, if the weather's like that, I don't go.
Yeah,
you don't go anywhere.
I stay home.
But we had to get out before it was too late.
It sounds like it already was.
Well, I finally got that thing loaded up, and I pretty much by myself because Linda was busy with Natalie trying to get all their cars loaded up to take Natalie to Elon. So she I guess, settled in right now. I was hoping to go.
So how's your heart? How's your daddy heart with all of this? All the kiddos are on. Is Alyssa
Alyssa's still at home, And, you know, she's living with us, saving her money until she can afford something on her own. In case people don't know, she's a fourth grade elementary school teacher at a Catholic grade school in Atlanta. So it's working out. We're still in the, you know, this big house, so there's no reason for her not to save her money and stay with us. Sure. But eventually we're going to, you know, we're going to downsize as well. And so, yeah, I know, you know, I'm going to miss everybody, all the, you know, the Natalie and Chris. But that's part of your kids growing up.
I know. Yeah. It's hard sometimes. It's hard to get them all together anymore. I remember when I was married the same week that my brother went away to college. And I was still living at home when I got married. And so my mother wept. First I left and didn't just leave the house. I left the country. And then my brother, you know, went to another city. And you know, we were hearing stories now that she wept all the way home from Gainesville, Florida. That they lived in Miami, and she says she wept the whole way home. And my father said that she was inconsolable, and because she kept saying, "It's all going to be different. It's never going to be the same again." And yeah, it's never the same again.
That's life, unfortunately. Hard to hear, but that's life.
That's why the same thing with, you know, the happy parts of life were, you know, with births, and then the other end of the spectrum, death. And speaking of that, we mentioned it last week. In fact, we had just heard about it on the last episode that Jennifer's father had passed away early that morning. And let me take a look here. I'm going to play this. I'm not sure how this sounds here.
This episode of Greg and Jennifer's Adventures in Imperfect Living is being brought to you by our 147 Patreon co-producers. And since we're on the road right now, we will give the name shout out next week when we are back in the studio and have better internet connection and we can see all the lovely names of those who may or may not have signed up.
Okay, so that's their show open for their big milestone show, episode 100, and they, I don't know if you noticed it or not, or if you follow Greg and Jennifer and their show, but they've changed their name officially. And which is interesting about this is I thought that it was going to be a different name. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be Greg and Jennifer Next Door, but it looks like they were compelled to make it Greg and Jennifer's Adventures in Imperfect Living.
Yeah, I thought at least like on Facebook, it looked like people were leaning towards the Next Door. But I guess they decided they wanted to go something completely different.
And I'm
sure. Well, actually, they had a really good, compelling piece of feedback from one of their listeners that I think prompted them to lean towards that one. I rather like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it isn't all of us in perfect living.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love it too. It kind of almost reminds me, and of course they in the graphic they make it look almost like a comic book, but it almost sounds like a comic book title or something like that, which is very descriptive of.
It certainly fits them anyway,
yes,
right?
It does, and so it's official. It's now Greg and Jennifer's Adventures in Perfect Living. It's hard for me to say that. They say it much better than I do, and it's a great show. Greg and Jennifer, we love them and their family so much. And and as I mentioned, you know, Jennifer and the whole, well, I guess it was the whole family, or was it maybe just Greg and Jennifer? I'm not sure. That headed back out to.
They were.
Huh?
Yeah, they were all here.
All here, okay. To attend the memorial service for Jennifer's father. And anyway, so our condolences again to Jennifer and the family. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to listening to their episode 100. I have not had a chance to yet, so I should probably download it, and I can listen to it on the way back to Atlanta, the flight back.
They did it in the car, right? I need to hear it.
Yeah.
That's kind of a messy thing to do. As you know, trying to anytime that you're doing something remotely, it's just every level.
I had this great idea. I'm full of great ideas that I was going to record my.
Is that what you're full of?
Yes. That's what they call it. There's another word for it.
Ideas.
I'm full of, and it's a four-letter word. Love. Yeah. love. That's the word.
Love.
So I was thinking I was going to record because I'm kind of behind. Oh, I got sick on a trip. I had a 3-day trip earlier in the week. And I was going to record episode, whatever it is, 182 in Fort Lauderdale. And in fact, Rick, one of my co-hosts was on the way up to Fort Lauderdale to join me to do the show live. And I told him, I'm sorry, dude, I can't do it. I ate something, I guess, yesterday or last night that did not agree with me. And I spent the entire day flying up to New York and then back to South Florida feeling just horrible. And I was hoping to get that show recorded, and I didn't, because the only thing I did when I got to the hotel was walked in, just kind of set my suitcase down, took the uniform off, and just crawled into bed. And so I was a little bit behind. You know, when I told you when I got back home, I had to rent the U-Haul and load it up and drive down and everything else. I thought, well, you know, I'll just record a show in the truck, you know, do a live hangout on air in the truck.
That's never a good idea.
No, I didn't even, they talked me out of it. And I said, you know, it's a good thing, because I went through about 3 different storm cell areas, weather areas, where there were times when I could hardly see anything out the front windshield. Yeah. So I was like gripping the steering wheel going, please don't let me slam into the back of another, you know, car or truck.
Wow.
So yeah, it was a good thing I didn't do it. But I finally got the show recorded late last night. We ended up finishing just a little bit after midnight last night. But anyway, enough of that. So if you're back to Greg and Jennifer's Adventures in Imperfect Living, if you haven't been subscribing to their Catholics Next Door podcast, you should, because it's a great show. And again, as I said, they're very creative people, and we love them so much. So you need to check that out. And speaking of people that we love and are someone who's sometimes with us on this show, but not today, unfortunately, Sarah Vabulous, the Catholic Drinky, just released her 3rd episode of her Catholic Drinky show.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Catholic Drinky show. On this episode, we're going to see why Sarah was 2 weeks late with this podcast.
Yeah, why?
We're going to talk green chartreuse and the history of green chartreuse and how the Catholic Church is involved. We're also going to talk with Father Kyle Schnippel about his vocation story. Stay tuned.
Okay, so she has introduced a new segment in her show called Hot Around the Collar. Kind of cute. Yeah, I guess she interviews priests. So watch out, Father Corey. You're probably going to get an email.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm surprised she's not on here right now trying to sign me up.
She's going to have a collar of priests on.
Yes, a passel of priests.
It's not going to work, is it?
A herd of holy men.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
Oh, I like that one. A herd of holy men.
So yeah, I've not listened to that one either. I have a lot of podcasts that are piling up that I need to listen to. So so check out Sarah's show, CatholicDrinky.com. You can find all the information about that over there. And
hey, and if you haven't heard the Catholic Hipster,
That's another good show
with Tommy.
Yep,
Tommy Ty,
and Sarah's on it too. It's delightful.
Yeah, she does that because she kind of like alternates between like 1 week it's that show and then another week it's her solo Catholic Drinky show, etc. And lots of good stuff out there. A lot of our community members starting new creative endeavors, and that's so cool to see and hear. Let's see. So did Lynn, our producer for the show, who's out of pocket this morning, or she's busy with something else. And again, thank you, Mike, for taking over doing the show notes. Said something about a topic that might be worth discussing on today's show. Facebook's double standard when it comes to their naming policy. And then she says, why can drag queens and transgender folk keep their stage names or their new names after their transitions? And priests and religious whose titles are not merely titles but an intrinsic part of their names, forced to drop their titles. And she goes on to say John Clem's cousin, Monsignor Charles Pope, who has a fantastic blog, made it on Fox News when Facebook disabled his account because he used the MSGR Monsignor title in his name. So what do you think about that?
I'm of two minds, I guess. I'm not a fan of Facebook's policy. And frankly, I'm just kind of biding time until they decide to come after me. Mm-hmm. You know, mine still is FR Corey. It's kind of like my website is frcorey.org. Well, it's FR Corey Stika is how my name is set up on Facebook. Mm-hmm. They haven't gotten after me yet, maybe because my name is short enough that it's not an issue. I don't know. I'm seriously considering whether or not to continue on Facebook about that, because there's part of me that says, you know, whether it shows my title as father or not, for me, isn't that big of an issue, because there are ways. I like the priests who they've changed their profile picture to just an FR period. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think that kind of gets the point across. I don't see Facebook censoring someone's profile picture, their avatar, especially since there's plenty of other avatars out there that definitely aren't just a face shot. Mm-hmm. You know, a mug shot. And frankly, I don't think Facebook doesn't care if you have it as a mug shot or not. That being said, I think the issue with it is they want legal names because you are being marketed by Facebook. You know, you are not the customer of Facebook. You are the product of Facebook. You are what they are selling to advertisers. You are what they are selling to marketing agencies. You are what they are selling to those who are looking for, you know, sociological data and so on. And to be that product, they give us access to their social network to do as we wish, for the most part, although even that is restricted at times. There have been times where certain posts are deemed to be not in conformity with Facebook rules, whether they are or not, and not allowed to be posted. Interestingly, one of which was Monsignor Pope's blog post on the fact that he was blocked from Facebook. Was added to the what someone had reported it, and it was added to the list of you can't post this on Facebook. I don't know if it's still that case or not. There's part of me that says it's not a big deal. Just do it. Play their game if you want to continue to use their service. But there is part of me that says, you know, as a priest, this isn't just a job. This isn't just some profession I have decided to take up to pay the bills and to get three hots and a cot. This is my life. This is who I am. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. That's part of the, you know, it's from the Psalms, but it's part of the ordination ritual. And it's true. You know, as I was commenting to one of my brother priests there at our week, we will recognize the priest's souls in heaven because their souls have changed. You know, and so for me to call myself Father Corey is not just adding a title because I'm a profession like a doctor might, or, you know, Captain Jeff, you know, to become a pilot did not change your soul. Mm. You might feel like you gave up your soul to become a pilot, but that's another story.
Hey.
But for me to become a priest did change my life, literally. Mm-hmm. So it's really a hard thing. Now, I know some priests, like Monsignor Pope, are going over to other options, like the Ostruck social network, which is kind of the Catholic Facebook. It really is. I've looked at it, and it's not a bad social network. It's designed to be very much Facebook light, I think. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I haven't decided what I'm going to do then yet. I probably will just make the change and keep going, but start restricting my use of Facebook a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing about those like private networks or Facebook replacements is that it kind of defeats the whole purpose of it, I think, you know, because mm-hmm. we want to be out there in the world. And where is everybody? You know, they're on Facebook or they're on Twitter or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly.
Please feel free, Marie, if you want to say anything, to unmute yourself. But I was just trying to get some of that noise out of the broadcast. So go ahead. Oh, she's just going to be.
Who, me?
Yeah.
because I went ahead and unmuted myself.
Yeah.
I am of the mind that it is a network that they can do whatever they want to on. Mm-hmm. And if we continue to be on it, as most of us are, and, you know, even John quit for a couple of years and came back on because he wanted to interface in that manner. Until something else comes along that is really this comprehensive, it's a free thing that we are doing. Mm-hmm. And I really, really, they can do whatever they want to. And the only way it's going to change is if we quit it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we're ready to do it. So by continuing to use it, we become complicit in whatever their policies are.
You know, what's interesting is that when Father was talking about, you know, the names and, you know, having the Father or FR in the beginning, I thought, you know what? From day one when I signed up for Facebook, I did not use my real name. I used Captain Jeff. That's my Facebook account. And it just dawned on me, wait a minute. This rule has not affected me, apparently, because as far as they know, my first name is Captain, or C-A-P-T, and my last name is Jeff.
Right. Well, I think
there's no question that they're going after. There's no question that they're going after these people, mm-hmm. priests and sisters who are using that title as well. It's happened to them as well, because somebody complains. So, yeah. Monsignor Pope is pretty high profile, and so it makes him an easier target, if you will, for someone to go after and make that complaint. Because if somebody complains about you, they do shut you down for a moment while they investigate it.
Oh yeah, you know, it's to put it simply, it's people snitching on others. Facebook, as far as I know and as far as I can tell, it's not like Facebook has an algorithm out there looking for people who have Father or FR in their names. It's people reporting them for violation of the Facebook name policy.
I just haven't had anybody upset with me enough yet to complain to Facebook.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'll complain about you today just to prove the point.
Okay.
We'll shut you down.
There we go. Please do.
Both of us get the your name is not in conformity. Thanks, Maria.
Yeah, well, if it does happen, Father will know why. It's Maria's fault.
I wouldn't do that. You know what? I have too much to do
too many other things to worry about.
All these stupid things that people do, but... but you know, it's theirs to do whatever they want to with it. I don't like it. I mean, don't believe for a moment that I think it's okay. I'm just saying that, you know, we're kind of complicit in it as long as we stay on it.
You're right. I mean, it's a, what do they say? A double-edged sword, right? You know, you have to take the limitations of things along with the benefits, and sometimes as bad as the limitations or negatives are, the positives outweigh, and so we continue to persist. So, speaking of persisting, it is now time for some... Well, shoot, I can't find it. Oh, I know why, because I'm not on the right page. Let's see. Huh. Well, I was going to play... Oh, here it is. Sorry. The Punxsutawney Phil sound, because we need to take a quick break to thank everybody who continues to send us their hard-earned money to keep the StarQuest Production Network in business, out there participating in our way of engaging in the new evangelization. And if you want to help us continue our mission and role in the new evangelization, head over to sqpn.com/donate, and there you'll find convenient ways to sign up for a PayPal donation account and send us a little bit of money every month to help us keep this thing rolling. Or if you want to provide a one-time donation, that's okay too. Anything is accepted, and we do appreciate it. Thank you all of you listening who are long-time contributors to the StarQuest Production Network. We really, really love you and appreciate you. And again, if you want to participate in that, head over to sqpn.com and check out the Friends of SQPN. Also, a less painless way, or a more painless way, to contribute is if you do shopping on Amazon.com. Make sure you click on the Amazon banner first or Amazon link on our site. And that way, a portion of your purchase will be contributed to the network. And then finally, if you're looking for a web hosting service, we can highly recommend Bluehost.com. Again, if you sign up with them, we receive a little bit of a gift from them, and it really helps out a lot. And we practice what we preach, because Maria Johnson and Sarah Babulous, Father Roderick, Steve Nelson, all use Bluehost for their personal blog hosting service. So check them out, Bluehost.com. Actually, don't do Bluehost.com. Go to sqpn.com/Bluehost, and there you can sign up, and we'll get credit for that. Again, thank you so much for all you do to keep this train from derailing. All right, we're back, and let's see.
Well, we do our good part of trying to make the train derail, but that's another story.
Yes, yes, we do.
My whistle is in the back of my car.
I did not take my whistle with me, so there we go.
It's been sitting there since the CNMC.
I don't know if I have a train wreck in this particular setup. I don't see it, but I do have this.
Oh, my goodness.
I wonder if Dom has thrown out his whistle yet.
I bet you the kids are enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's why I'm wondering if he threw it out, because they were enjoying it.
Dom won our autographed copy or autographed train, the official Catholic Weekend train whistle at the Catholic New Media Conference in June. And that was a lot of fun. Our first and only live show. That was a kick. I loved that.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun to do it. It was neat to...
Maria's kind of stuttering a little bit. So while she kind of regains her composure, perhaps... Oh, okay. Are we back? Say something, Maria.
It was you, dude.
Was it me? Oh, it could be.
You. Yep.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I'm using the hotel Wi-Fi. So, yeah, you're right. It's me. Yeah. Sorry.
As soon as you said... Maria's starting a little bit, and all of a sudden it was freeze frame.
It was you stuttering, silly goose.
Oh, silly me.
Hey, listen, silly. I love our Pope. I just think that he's just so amazing. Did you hear that he just showed up for Mass at St. Peter's yesterday? He did. He'd already celebrated Mass that morning, wherever it is that he was. And... on the feast day of Saint Pius X, which in Argentina is also the patron saint of catechists there. I don't know if that's a across the board kind of thing. He just decided to go and attend Mass to, as he said, pay his respects to Saint Pius. And he just showed up in the congregation next to people. Oh. And
how awesome.
So during the piece, he was like, you know, yeah.
Can you imagine sitting there going, so, man, this guy looks just like the Pope.
Is that the Pope? So the poor celebrant, though, can you imagine? he saw the Pope, and he went back to the sacristy ready to, you know, let him celebrate. And the Pope was like, no, go ahead. I'm just here, you know, with the faithful.
No, you got it. Keep going. You're doing fine.
Take care. Go take care of business. I'll just be right here.
Can you imagine, Father Corey?
It's not an observation. You know, when my dean comes into my classroom, I get a little nervous, you know. Mm-hmm.
I can imagine that the celebrant going, oh, I probably should have spent a little bit more time preparing my homily. Oh,
amazing.
Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, what would I do? And I think my response would be, Holy Father, your place is up here. My place is down there. I don't care what you think. Your place is up here. My place is down there.
Except that he says no, right?
Yeah, what do you do?
I don't care what you think, Holy
Mass
Father.
Mass goes on.
It's about me and you. It's about you being up here and me down there.
I don't know.
It's about Jesus, and you're his vicar. I'm not.
Mm-hmm. And then no one ever saw Father Corey again.
I would squash you in a hurry.
I could not celebrate Mass in front of him. I honestly could not. I would not be able to. I would would be so, like you said, nervous. I couldn't do it.
I mean, he was just sitting in the pews, you know?
I just have to walk off and say, I'm sorry, I can't do this.
I can't do this. Not today. Mass is canceled on account of the Pope.
Yeah. The Pope has to celebrate it because it's his job, not mine at this point. No.
Wrong.
Now Father, poor yeah, Father Corey's going to have that nightmares. Isn't that
true? Yeah. You know, honestly, it's as beautiful as it is, it really is a little bit troubling because we are a hierarchical church. And that's because that's how our Lord wants it. Mm-hmm. You know, and for a Pope to say, you know, I'm going to ignore that. That's, you know, he's the Pope and he can do that. But it's still admittedly a little troubling at times, too, because it's not about the Pope. It's about Christ. And this mm-hmm. is how Christ wants it, you know. So, yeah.
It's going to go out all over the internet. And finally, Catholic Weekend is going to have some attention.
There we go.
and next week, we're going to be waiting for Father Corey to join us, and he'll be gone. It's like, what happened to Father Corey?
It'll be the Pope. It'll be the Pope standing in for Father Corey.
We should have the Pope
on. That would be a coup.
So what do you want to talk about, Holy Father?
Yeah. Maria would have to leave the show, though, because his English isn't so good. But
and we'll go. And I said, well, Father.
Dude, I would totally do it.
Your Holiness, maybe nobody told you, but you have to have a pick of the week. So think of something. And it's that time, the picks of the week. So who would like to go first? Father Corey?
I'm going to interrupt the picks of the week.
Okay, please do. Uh-oh.
Yes. Is it? Have we been going that long? No, we haven't. We have time. Did you see the article in Epic Pew about the 8 patron saints for things people love?
No.
It's got patron saints. Okay, so we know that the patron saint of the internet is Saint Isidore of Seville, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you know that the patron saint for cake is Saint Honoré?
No.
He was a long beloved and revered by French bakers. And legend has it that the 6th century bishop's childhood nurse mate found out that he was to be elevated to bishop. She dropped her wooden paddle used to make cake on the ground. And the paddle immediately grew roots and sprouted into a blackberry tree.
Wow.
Therefore, he is the patron saint of cakes.
I thought it was Marie cakes. Antoinette.
Cake, not bakers. Cake.
Let them eat cake. No.
Right? And your son is an actor, right? Or he's in to make movies and stuff. Saint Genesius. Mm-hmm. Is the patron saint of movies.
Okay.
My favorite is the patron saint of coffee, Saint Drogo.
Ooh, I like that.
All right.
Drogo, huh?
But this is why, and Drogo, and oh gosh, don't put that up there. You're going to set off Father Corey. And we know from Sarah that the patron saint of beer is Saint Arnold, mm-hmm. but this is the one that deserves a little bit of a drum roll. Do you know who the patron saint of bacon is?
Saint Baconus?
Nah. Saint Anthony the Abbot.
I don't.
There is a patron saint of bacon.
Wow. Nice.
I'd say that was my pick of the week, but I actually had posted something else as my pick of the week.
Saint Anthony but of I wanted it. What?
The Abbot. Saint Anthony the Abbot.
Saint Anthony the Abbot.
Is the patron saint of bacon.
Why?
Bacon. Oh, I of course erased it already.
Oh, okay.
Let me see.
Well, we'll have to figure it out on our own, I guess.
I don't know. I killed it already. But okay. He's the patron saint of bacon. Isn't that
just
bizarre?
Is. And just don't question it.
Don't question it. Just accept it.
So
moving
before
on.
We eat our bacon at breakfast, we should say an intercessory prayer to Saint Anthony the Abbot.
Saint Anthony the Abbot.
Okay.
Cool. Whatever. Anyway, my pick of the week is back to school. And there's a great article called Dear Teacher, which I've posted the show notes to, and I've posted to the show notes. And it's such a lovely reflection on the teachers, especially the elementary school teachers, because as you know, as moms especially, but parents, you know, you drop off your little ones to school and you worry about them, and you know, you've so lovingly prepared everything and their lunch and their clothes, and you've bought them the backpack and everything, and you drop them off in school and you wonder if the teacher is going to love your child. And in this reflection, it's beautiful because it kind of does a reverse. It talks about all the things that the mother did to prepare her child for school, and then when she gets to the school, she kind of goes in the reverse, recognizing all the effort that the teacher put into creating a welcoming classroom for that kid. So it's a sweet, sweet reflection. Brought a tear to my eye back in the day when I dropped off my little kindergartners, but also an appreciation for the teachers. So back to school blessings for everybody, both students and teachers.
I tell you, those teachers, they put in a lot of work, and I've been able to see that with my oldest daughter Alyssa, who's a fourth grade teacher, and all the work she's constantly doing, you know, grading papers and doing lesson plans, and you know, it's mm-hmm. it's a lot of hard work,
so. And a lot of stuff that comes out of your own pocket.
Yeah.
You know, buying the little things that really liven up and make the classroom cozy and homey. Yeah, so share that with her too. I forgot that she was a fourth grade teacher. My sister teaches third grade.
Uh-huh.
So I always think of her at this time of the year.
All right. So
a little shout out to Barb Gilman too.
Yeah.
Barb
and all the educators out there.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll have to look in the show notes for the link and send it to my daughter. Let's see. Oh, we have two Father Corys with us. I guess he must have dropped off.
Yeah, no. Safari is having a fit this morning or something.
Oh, okay.
So, problem occurred with this web page, so it was reloaded. Great. Thanks.
Would you like to go next, Father Cory?
Yes. Yes, yes I can. Since we were talking about podcasts earlier, I've got another podcast to promote is my pick of the week. Called Catholic Bites, and it's CatholicBitesPodcast.com, and it's bites as in a computer bite, B-Y-T-E. Oh.
You know, this Catholic Bites.
Yeah. it's a podcast actually by mostly priests. They're guys, some of these guys who are at our get together this week, our conference this week, are doing this podcast. And much of it was recorded over in Rome. They're guys who studied over in Rome, and they did these podcasts. Well, the thing I like about them is they're short, under 10 minutes long. They're meant to be short, concise. You know, you're in the car running across town to Walmart, and you got, you know, 10 minutes. You can throw this on as you're driving across town. Or, you know, you're commuting to work, and you got a couple, you can listen to a couple as you go across or what have you. So, and it's about just different teachings of the church, different issues that we face as Catholics, different elements. You know, for example, one of the episodes is St. John Paul II, A Heart Open to the Will of God. You know, so talking about Pope John, our late great Pope John Paul II, theological issues, spiritual issues, different priests, different, and actually religious, there's a religious sister as well who did one. So very, very interesting concept, interesting idea. They said their goal is to have something like 450 episodes of this podcast. I think they've recorded much of it already because they did it in person while they were all over in Rome. So definitely worth checking out. They do a pretty good job. And so it's CatholicBitesPodcast.com.
Excellent. I'll have to check it out myself. And another podcast worth mentioning is a show called Catholic Sip, I believe. And let me get back to this. I think it stands for Staying in Prayer, Catholic Sip Podcast. And we met them at the CNMC. Mm-hmm. I believe they were present there. And in fact, I think we were going to have them on the show or something like that, but we were going to have a meetup with them or something, but that kind of fell through. We were unable to make the connection. So check out the Catholic SIP podcast. And I'm not sure what the URL is because I didn't prepare for that, but just thought I'd throw that in the mix. Lots of good stuff out there. My pick is has nothing to do with Catholicism. It's a gadget. I love gadgets. And this is one that I use quite often. In fact, right now it's actually holding the H5 recorder that I use to record the shows. And let's see if I can get it into view without disconnecting everything. This is a, I don't know if you can see this or not. It's a suction cup and articulated arm. And then on the other end of it, it has this mechanism, kind of a ball and socket kind of mechanism. And at this point, I have a threaded tripod thread connected to it. And that's what I have the recorder connected to. It works as a device to hold my recorder. It also, I have another one that I use to hold the camcorder, which I'm not using this morning, but it sticks to, you know, flat surfaces, the suction cup, and I was using it on my drive down in the U-Haul truck. It was holding with this little see that little ball thing that connects to it in the little articulated arm, and then it has like a little thing that holds your phone or whatever device you wanted to hold, and I had that affixed to the side window of the truck coming down, holding my iPhone so that you know, I could look at the moving map and, you know, and look at weather and that kind of thing on the way down. So yeah, it's made by RAM. It's called RAM Mount, RamMount.com. And the reason why I'd actually heard of the company before we started getting these devices in our airplanes, but at Acme we have, you know, we use the Surface, the Microsoft Surface 2 tablet for our electronic flight bag. And in the airplane, we have these RAM mounts, and it's a double suction cup thing that holds the tablet in place on the window. And so I was kind of impressed with the build quality of this device and how well it worked. And so that's why I bought a couple of these for my personal use. So I highly recommend it. You can find the best prices that I found is through Amazon. Remember to go to the SQPN website and click on the Amazon link before you order your RAM mount. But it's a cool modular system. They have different size arms and they have different types of things that you can use with a ball mount.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, I'd heard of them, and when I was playing with my GoPro, and because they've got one of the things you can get is the GoPro mount.
Yep. They have iPad and iPhone mounts, laptop solutions, GoPro mounts, SLR camera mounts, all kinds of different. Just for me as a technological geek, I love all this kind of gadgetry. And I'm thinking, you know, when I was getting ready for today's show, I'm thinking, what am I going to do for the pick of the week? And I thought, oh, this is something I use all the time. I really highly recommend it. And it's a great, great system. So get your RAM.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, speaking of those gadgets, and you're using headphones. You've got cans in your ear this time.
Yeah.
Transition last week when I was gone?
I used them for the first time last week. And those who watch Father Roderick do his shows will recognize these. These are the same cans that Father Roderick uses. And I don't know. It's taking some getting used to using them. I might go back to my earbuds instead. Of course, I think I left my earbuds in the U-Haul truck. I just realized that this morning. Couldn't find my earbuds, but I did bring along these Beyerdynamic 770 Pros or whatever they call them headphones, and they're really, really good headphones. They have a huge range of sound, great bass and everything else, and they're professional studio headphones. And so I thought I'd give them a try, and so far, so good.
Nice.
Sweet.
But, so I guess that's it. So we're kind of winding this thing down. I guess we can hear about how we can learn more about Father Corey Stika. And how would we do that, sir?
at frcorey.org is my website. At least I post my homilies there. I've got my homily podcast there as well. You can sign up for that and listen to get my homilies. For the time being, I'm still Fr. Corey Stika at Facebook. That hasn't changed yet. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Matter of fact, on Instagram, just posted a couple pictures from Decision Point. And you'll have to go to my Instagram and check it out and see what that's all about.
Okay. Decision Point. And what's the Instagram again? Just Fr.
Fr. Corey Stika. Stika. S-T-I-C-H-A.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I'll have to check it out. Maria Johnson, another cup. Nope, not another cup of coffee. Miriam Johnson.
Just a blog by Maria Johnson. Yeah.
Miriam
Johnson. I haven't been on any kind of social media for a couple of weeks since I went on vacation, but I'm back in the saddle. I'll be posting again at MariaMJohnson.com and follow me on Twitter at BegO.
All right. And
I have Instagram and all those other things, but I don't know.
You know, I just sometimes get overwhelmed by all these different things, yeah. You know, too many things. I wish there was just like one thing, then you could just spend all your time on it. So I am the Airline Pilot Guy. You can find me at Twitter and Facebook, Airline Pilot Guy, all one word, and airlinepilotguy.com. And that's where you could find my aviation podcast if you're interested. And anything else before we sign off for today's episode? No? Anything going on this coming week? Anything special in the church liturgy?
I'm trying to think. I don't think there's anything special going on. I think it's a pretty quiet week, actually, which is going to be nice, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, well, I can't think of
anything. We end today with the Queenship of Mary.
Yes. Oh,
okay. Cool. You know what? Just quickly, because we have a couple more minutes here. I was, in the United States, the Assumption of Mary was mm-hmm. abrogated to the Sunday worship. But I feel really, really kind of disappointed that it kind of got lost in the shuffle, because it was the Bread of Life discourse on the next day, the Sunday, last weekend. And that's all we heard about, which is awesome. It's like one of the greatest teachings of the church, the bread of life. But I felt like, darn it, you know, I should have taken the time to go to Mass on Saturday to specifically take part in the Feast of the Assumption. And I didn't, because I kind of assumed that it was going to be, you know, something was going to be said about it in the Sunday Mass. But
you assumed?
Yeah, you should never make that assumption.
I celebrated Saturday night Mass as the Assumption and Sunday as Sunday.
Yeah.
So I actually had two different sets of readings, two different homilies. Other priests, other dioceses actually said, do it all for Sunday, which I didn't agree with, because as a priest, you know, you have on solemnities, you have evening prayer 1 and 2, and it was evening prayer 2 of the Assumption on Saturday night. So that meant Saturday night was still the Feast of the Assumption. So so those who went to Saturday night Mass here in Malta got the Assumption. Those who went to my Sunday Masses got the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time.
Mm-hmm.
The Bread of Life discourse and all that.
Yeah, when I got back that night, I fired up my Divine Office app and went back the day before and the solemnity of the Assumption, and at least I got a little, you know, taste of it.
There you go.
So next year I'll know better. Yeah. So,
well, next year it should be
it's going to be a regular
Monday.
Oh,
it'll
okay.
be Monday because it's
Monday.
Uh huh. Okay.
Very
so,
cool. Well, it is leap year next year.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of leaping, it's time for us to leap out of the picture here. It's time to stop the show. So, anyway, thanks again for joining us on Catholic Weekend. Those of you in the live chat room, thank you. I hope you have a great weekend. And everybody else, I hope you had a great Catholic weekend. See you next week. Take care and God bless.
Bye.
SQPN.
leading the way in Catholic new media.